Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Hello, good morning everyone. Thanks for being here or online because this panel is also live streamed. There are people still coming in, but we will begin because we have only until 2 p.m. So let's begin. I'm Axel Scoffier, I'm the Deputy Executive Director of Unifrance, and this is Claire Villemain, who is in charge of XR in our team. Unifrance is the organization in charge of promoting French cinema, TV, and XR worldwide. So we would like to thank the Venice Production Bridge for letting us doing this panel today. Also Liz Rosenthal for accepting to moderate it. And our three panelists who accepted our invitation to talk about French XR and its international footprint. So we wanted to organize this panel to discuss how rich our producers, talents, and distributors work with our foreign partners worldwide. And it's not only about exporting and distributing, it's also about co-producing, it's also about bringing foreign talents on board. So it's very rich, and we at Unifrance, we are supporting this dynamic. We have many supporting schemes for French producers, talents, and distributors. So please don't hesitate to come to talk to us afterwards to see how we can support your project. And so I leave the floor to Liz and our three panelists to discuss this topic. Thank you.
So hello, everyone. Thanks for joining. It's lunchtime, so we're very grateful that you chose to come here instead of lunch. So I'm Liz Rosenthal. I'm the co-curator of Venice VR Expanded, which is the official selection and competition of immersive content at the Venice Film Festival. I also, with my colleague Michelle, we work together, are involved in selecting the projects for the gap financing market for VR. So I'm really happy to be doing this panel because every year in Venice, we have had a huge representation of French projects, both in the selection and in the market. And from my experience, I've been in the immersive content and interactive creative field for a long while. France has always had the most incredibly vibrant scene. And at festivals around the world, and in Venice, of course, we always have an impressive range of projects that are in competition, that have won awards. So before I read out the list, I should introduce my panelists, though, because I'm joined by some incredible talent from France. I'm going to start with Antoine Card. Sorry, I was going to call you another French producer.
There's so many Antoine.
Yes, Antoine Kehrol from Atlas 5. He's worked on many international co-productions, which we're going to really focus on today. Katayoun Dibamer from Floréal Films. Again, most of your projects have actually been international collaborations. And Matthias Schellebourg, who is a director, creative, and also now has his own studio in France. And again, all of my panelists have had projects in Venice over the years, so we have a lot to talk about. So just this year, because I wanted to give a shout out for the French projects, in our selection in Venice VR, we have five projects that are French. We have Starry Sand Beach, Le Bal de Paris, Bedlam, Goliath, which is Katayoun's project, and Glimpse. And then in the VPB, in the Venice Production Bridge Finance Market, we've got Empereur, Confident, Blood Speaks, which again, as Katayoun is producing, Fight Back, and Night of the Wailing Stars. So we're going to look at financing opportunities and co-production, a little bit about distribution, and then exhibition collaborations as well in France. And also we're going to look at the aspect of international talent. So first, I think we should talk about, because France has got so many funding opportunities for projects, for French producers and then for other producers to co-produce with, I think we should sort of do a breakdown of what's available. So I'm going to start with Katayoun, actually. Maybe you can talk a bit about the state, the soft funding in terms of the government funds.
Yes. So in France, we have lots of opportunities, as Liz said. There is the public funding, the CNC. Then you have the regions. You can go to the regions. Depending on the work that you're doing, you have to spend in the region. Then you have the broadcasters, you have Arte, you have France Television, and what else? Help me here, Antoine.
Okay. I think that's mostly that, because you say national and territorial. So territorial, we have like on every region you can have money, then you can have money also on the city of the region. So, but basically that's what you say, national and territorial.
And what are the regions that you've worked with?
I think two regions that are really like giving a lot of money and support in the field will be Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes Cinema, which is the Lyon region, and Pictanovo, which is from the north. They're really supporting a lot XR. I'm sure the other will also.
And what
about
Paris?
Paris have a little grant from the city,
yeah,
but the region don't really support XR yet, because they have so many feature films to support that they're not so much open to XR right now. Hear us, Ile-de-France.
And Matthias, because you're a creator as well, because my other panelists are producers, is there anything else in terms of creators that's different to that from other art forms?
Well, I guess from a creative point of view, one of the major points in France is that we have very, very talented schools that are kind of that took in XR very early on. Mm. So we had a pool of talents, developers, like people who, even in animation department from famous school in France like Les Gobelins or some other private school, people got interested in real-time engine and VR very early on. So you had a situation where French talent was very attracted, was very attractive for abroad production companies, and I think that's a real strong suit of France.
Yes, right, so very, very good point. So schools like Gobelin or
yes, yeah. Gobelin, Superfocom, Rubika, all the schools got in very soon.
Yeah,
very
and early. I think, and I guess you've got, if you've got sort of technology funds as well that some of the creative producers are using.
Yeah, you have also another grant that is specific on technology. And I will just want to circle back on what we say before on all the grants. Basically, there is a system when you have the development grant and the production fund. And development grant is really important, because thanks to that, we can prototype, and then we can show the prototype worldwide, and then gather international partner. And I think the development grant is something that really works well in France. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are producing so much. It's because in comparison to other countries that come with a pitch deck and a little prototype that they invest themselves, we can get like 100K to really do a proper prototype and then to gather international partner. And I think this system of like helping the development phase is really an amazing system that we've got.
So can you give some examples of some projects that were international co-production? Because there are two ways here. There are projects that you have started within your companies that you're looking for finance, you develop, and then you're going outside to find budgets from other countries. And there are projects that come to you who want to raise money in France, which I think probably a lot of people in the audience will probably be in the second category. So can you give some examples of some projects, like the how you've sort of raised money, development and production money, so international co-pro? And maybe shall I start, Catherine?
Yeah. So normally what we do, so co-production, it's a puzzle. This is what I always say. You have to find the best puzzle, the pieces, to really make it happen. So depending on the need that you have, whether it's a project that will come to you, normally it's good that if it's a foreigner project, it's good that they have already something in from their respective country. It's good to go see France, CNC, to tell them it's already in development in their respective countries. See, so it works. So that's a point. And yes, then you go to development, and then you start to talk with broadcasters, depending if it fits their need, of course. For example, I can give you some examples of the projects that we worked on. Last year, we had two projects in competition, Minimum Mass. This project was already really in production, actually, when they come and see us. They're coming from New Zealand. They had already Unreal, a tech company. They had already New Zealand Film Commission on the project, and then they came to us actually to do the post-production. We kind of finished the whole project. It was actually the best scenario that you can have. the artistic was already done. People could see stuff in the commission. And so we kind of completed the project and it was out.
For that post-production money, is there a different fund that you can come for completion money that's beyond development and the production funds?
No, you go to production. When the project is advanced, it's not a good thing to do because it's always good to start with the development and then go to the production. But sometimes you know that this project has a lot of good assets around it, so you are ready to go to the production.
And so, Matthias, have you got some examples of projects you've worked on?
Yes, I think there's a vast variety of ways you can work with abroad money or abroad companies, I guess. If I take, for example, the case of what I did for the BBC, like the Doctor Who interactive episode, The Runaway, this was all about skills. Like, I think the BBC at some point wanted to try working with French studio because they recognized that French studios, like Passion Picture, had some kind of a tremendous skills in VR and XR. So they really, really spent the money in France just because they knew they would have a great project and probably for even less than some of the major like post-production studios in house in London. So that's a way, I think. But for example, in the case of Jack that we produced with Baobab Studio, all the funding was American. It was West Coast, Silicon Valley money from the studio and foundings. And the way they wanted to collaborate with me was because if they spend this money in France, for example, they have some kind of a tax incentive, like crédit d'impôt, and some they have a tremendous cutback on the fees and stuff like that. So there is a lot of incentive also for a broad company to spend money in France through co-production or just like buying, like creating stuff in France, and it's a really strong incentive for them to do that.
Great, because there are so many amazing effects and animation companies actually, and I've noticed a lot of the projects that have come to France often use the talent that's in France, and that's what's so amazing because it's really hard co-producing. You could have a fund in a country, but there's not the talent there to do the work that you need. It's very difficult. But it's good you mentioned tax credits as well, because I want to also talk about more of your projects. But Antoine, can you tell us a bit about the tax credits? Because we left that off the list of government funds.
So we have an amazing thing in the French funding, a lot, and I can do that for hours. But we don't have a tax credit for VR, which is a pain point that we're all trying to lobby the government to open that. So we have an international tax credit. Like if an American company hire me to do an XR project, then I can have 35% tax credit for the money we'll spend in France. But in that case, I lose my credit as a EP, as a real producer. So it's kind of tricky because international tax credit is a good thing to bring money home and create employment, but we don't have a national tax credit. So what we are trying to do, me and a lot of producers, is trying to open the game tax credit to VR. Because VR, in a way, is closer it's closer to game than cinema in the way we create it. Unity, Unreal, I think you all know that. So we're trying to push the tax credit in video game to be open to our project. Because you cannot, creating a new tax credit is like a big, big thing. You need to go to the Ministry of Economy. It will take 20 years, honestly. So opening the video game tax credit will be the way to have a national tax credit. So right now, it's one of the pain points that we have. What I'm doing right now a lot is like collaborating with the UK. UK have a tax rebate between 25 and 30%. That is okay for every European spending. So it's kind of crazy because I don't have my own tax credit, so I hire a UK company that have tax credit in my country. That's something fun and one of the joy of co-production.
Which is amazing. That's the one thing the UK does have. I can say that because I'm from London.
And Brexit didn't change that because it's the economical European EECA.
Exactly. So let's go back to some of the projects, though, because you've got a huge roster of projects that you've built finance up across different borders. Do you want to give some examples of those?
And maybe with the example to circle back on what you say, it's true, like the first year, a lot of project was like me and my team and my producer and my co-founder, blah, 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 but I'm here, so me looking for project and then convincing people to finance that in France. So the first year it was like, oh, I found an amazing prototype of Gloomy Eyes, of Battle's Car. Oh, guys, I can find money for you in France. And they were like, are you serious? They give money for that. And I'm like, yes, yes. And then a lot of people like UniFrance and a lot of partners organize panel like this and keynote. And people discover that there was possibility to gather French money for XR project, and something that really differs us from a lot of other funds, like in Swiss, in Danish, in a lot of funds, they're asking the director or the writer to be from the country. So you need to have a national anchor as a citizen, and somebody need to be involved, or you need to do something about your country. In France, it's totally different. You need to spend 75% of the money in France. That's the only rule. You have a French producer, you spend in France, that's create employment, that's okay. And then, like, country all over the world discovered that it was so simple. It's not so simple. You need to build a pipeline with different studio, like in France and abroad. But, like, if you have, you're an Argentinian director, you can still apply for French funding if you have a French co-producer. And that's something that when a lot of countries discover that, and maybe some of you will discover that today, then you can apply for French funding to a French producer. And that's really something that I think make that we have a great international footprint, because then we can create a lot with other countries kind of easily, because they don't have to be French.
Yes, that's incredibly rare, because I know in the UK they have a point system, which is very, very difficult to fulfill to be a UK project.
And we have that in feature film, but not in XR.
Yeah, very interesting. So, Katayun, can you talk about a bit about that? Because you've worked with a lot of projects that, where the artists have been abroad. Do you want to give some examples of that?
Yeah, and I will complete to say that there is a writing step at CNC, the writing level. It's before development. For that, any artist from European Union can apply. So this is very important to know for the artists that are in this space. Sorry. The question...
And it's 10,000 euro. It's not nothing,
yes,
what
exactly.
You say. It's a huge
and
grant
it
for
it can
art.
Go up to 15,000 euros, actually. Yes.
So. Maybe we can talk figures, because people always want to know money.
Oh,
because
yes.
Can you give an idea about some of the development grant levels and the kind of financing you can expect from the people we've talked about, and even the commissioners, the broadcasters, because Arte and France Télévisions are a very important part of that.
And she had the bigger grant ever allowed in development, so she knows.
Yes, so in the writing you can go up to 15,000. This is just the artist who should apply. Then in the development you should go with the production French production company. It's always between, it really varies. It's between 20,000 until, like, it can go up to 70,000 euros, depending on the scale of the project, obviously. And then you have the production, which can vary again, from 50,000 euros, depending on the scale of the project, and it can go up to, you had a very good production, maybe you can
to
say
200.
It. Yeah, okay. And then I think Arte and France Télévisions, depending on the project, then you can say better, but it's around 50,000 K. They could become co-producers, 100,000 K as well. So it really 150, depending again on the scale of the project. I just want to add something as well about the French ecosystem in our production. I think much of it we owe the film industry because it's very stable. There are today how many film co-productions are around the world in French cinema. Then we have the gaming and tech industry that are very powerful as well in France. And then artists. So I think we have all the magic for a co-production to get happen. And what we do as co-producers, actually, when we work with BFI, when we, British Film Institute, when we work with Danish Film Institute, these are all countries who have funds, they want to fund projects, but we are always telling them, go and sit down with CNC, look what are they doing. You know, we are kind of giving CNC as a model or the economic model for the film industry that it's working. And because of France, actually, all these international artists that could have just produced a project in their respective country, they come to France, they become a French co-production, then the visibility that French industry is giving them, it's just enormous.
And that's, maybe we should start moving on to that. idea of visibility, because you're so right. You know, it's all very well sort of raising money, which is great to make your project, but actually it's all the attachments with those different partners that is super important. So I don't know, Matthias, I want to bring you in as well to this. So can you give some examples of some sort of collaborations that have worked in terms of elevating your projects from having that French association? Because it's interesting, even something like Jack, which was a location-based, amazing, immersive theatre performance that was at Tribeca Film Festival, that was with a very big studio, Baobab, who one of the biggest animation studios in VR. And it's sort of it's very interesting the collaboration you've had with them and with Baba Yaga.
Yeah, I guess it's about visibility for sure. I think even some major studios in the US, they are exploring VR almost as a marketing tool. Let's face it, like they still have a foot in the gaming industry or in the traditional like cinema industry, and they saw VR as an opportunity to explore, to build new IPs, to bring on like talents. Because for example, like a short film like Baba Yaga, we got an amazing like lineup of talents. We have Glenn Close, Daisy Ridley, Jennifer Hudson, Kate Winslet, and I think this is hard to get those people for a traditional short film. But VR, it's exciting, it's new, so those studios are willing to explore, and it's building new IPs because it's all about IPs. And then I think a second very important part of that visibility is the festival strategy. Most of those studios I've been working with, they create those short films because they want to win festivals. They want to be in there. We received like 3 Emmy nominations for Baba Yaga, and we won 2 of them. So I think this is really about visibility. It's about shininess of a new type of format. But it's not about like it's yet not about like distribution or specific market. They're trying to explore that. You have different markets, like the Oculus market, stuff like that. It's becoming something. You have something like, I don't know, Antoine, the last numbers, but like the numbers of Quest who's been sold is becoming something. It's enough to make money with that. But for at least a couple of years that we just spent, it was about visibility, it was about festivals, and it was about shining and creating new IPs.
That's something I want to go on to now, actually, is about working with international talent. Because obviously you've had a lot of big-name talents on your projects, so Katayoun's Project Goliath, which is in the competition, Tilda Swinton is voicing one of the... is narrating the project. And Antoine, you've worked with Colin Farrell, remind me, from Spheres, there were so many famous...
Jessica Chastain, but it's me, it's a lot of...
Yeah, and so that was your approach before, wasn't it? Very much about bringing big-name talent on. How does that work? And what happens in France when you have to make... Do you have to make a French version?
Reply to the question by order, like... So having talents is always something amazing, but it's expensive, so you need to be sure that you really need it, and maybe all projects don't need it. So I think first thing, if you need to have an international big talent, be sure that you pay also for the marketing assets. Because when you go to the talent agency, you will have 2 contracts. One for like working on the voiceover, 2 days of work, that's it. That's not really expensive, even for a big, big name. But then if you do only that and you cannot use the name, what's the point of having Jessica Chastain if you cannot use the name? So then you have another contract to use the name, and then you put on the contract, I want 5 tweets, I want 2 Facebook posts, I want 1 interview, I want photography. And that what cost, and that was it. That's what make it efficient on some project. On other project, because we need to think also about the target of what we are doing. We had a lot of big talents at Atlas, and no, on some project we decide not to, because we had the feeling, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but we had the feeling that people that have Quest 2 might be people that don't know who Jessica Chastain is. And so maybe we had the feeling that instead of putting this amount of dollars into a talent, we're trying right now to do more like TikTok campaign, YouTube campaign. Like, since a few weeks, you can do ads into the Oculus store that you cannot do before. So we're trying to go that way a little bit. Of course, the best, and what Katayoun said, is like, do both. And she's right. If you have the money, do both. But usually, we don't have the money to do both. And because having a big name, for me, it's like a marketing budget on my budget, you know, like, because the 2 days of work are not really expensive, as I just told. So you need to be smart on where to put the money on the marketing and how to grow your audience. Nobody knows right now because it's pretty new for everybody, XR. So that's what we are trying to do right now.
Thank you. So, Kathleen, you've got a different approach. I mean, it's interesting because you announced Tilda Swinton the other day and got amazing press.
Yeah, and I think this, again, we are kind of copying that from the film industry. Why not? Why there is a talent? We knew that she's interested in technology and VR. We knew that she was interested in the mental health subject matter. And, yeah, and she accepted. So I think artistically for us was very important that somebody who's taking the voice of this project has very good connections about the subject matter that we are working on. And yes, of course, I think you have to be prepared. You have to have a partner to pay just for the talent. And yeah, you have to get prepared because these things can give you visibility, but they can be very, very expensive.
And what happens when, because obviously you've got French funding, what happens when you're in the French territory? You have to reversion what you're creating with French actor, Have you got some experience of that?
Yes. Actually, anything you do, whether you have to dub it in French, or you have to have a French version.
Yeah. Then you can choose to be cheap and do subtitle, which is not expensive.
And doesn't
but,
work
but
so
we're
well.
Proud, and doesn't work, but we're proud of doing our French version, so we're trying also to usually dub it and dub it with people that are famous in our country. I can give the name, but you will not surely not know them. But yeah, dub it is
maybe,
better.
Maybe they will.
Taraim.
Yeah.
For example.
Then you can quote what films he was in.
He was in Gloomy Eyes.
Yeah. But no, but the what he's known for, what are his projects? No, you don't know.
The Looming Tower. The Looming Tower will be an international project. So.
Yeah, great. There's an interesting example, though, with Gloomy Eyes, because that was a co-production that you ended up... Was it US, French? And also, you brought on board...
Argentina,
and that's where it originated but Taiwan. That's a very interesting story, wasn't it? The reversioning, because how many versions did you make of the...
So I think it's important, in fact, to target an audience, and as Liz just mentioned, and you all know that, subtitles don't really work in VR, you know, it's kind of boring and you don't want to follow. And I think, like in an animation movie, you're happy when people speak your language. And because it's animation, it's much more easy to dub. You know, the lip thing and everything. So what we're trying to do is versioning for different countries, and that increase the number of download. So Gloomy Eyes, we did like Chinese with a Taiwanese partner, but Taiwan came on board really early, so the Chinese version was out on the same time that the French and English. And then we did also Spanish, German, Korean, Japanese, and we are doing right now Arabic and Indian. Because even if the market is not big, and we all know that, making 20 sales or making 2,000 sales is not the same. And 2,000 sales per country begin to be something. I know for our friend from the feature film, behind there, it's a ridiculous number. But when you add that for XR, it begins to make sense a little bit and to grow an audience. So yeah, I think versioning is a great thing to do. And it's cost efficient. Because as for animation, I mean, if you're doing live action, it might be different. But for animation, it's, you know, you're not taking a big AAA casting in every country, just an actor, a dubbing studio, something that will cost you 2,000 euros to do. That's kind of worth it, because then you'll do 2,000 sales on year one, and VR it's continue to expand, and your project will be on the store for a lot of years. So, which know how many? I think that's a win-win to do.
Great. So, I think we should talk a little bit about distribution now, and just the opportunities in France there, because you also have a very vibrant exhibition festival. LBE and sort of network of different venues around France. So, does anybody want to start talking about that, about distribution opportunities? So, because Antoine, you started distributing, haven't you?
Yeah, we're just opening a distribution company. We announced that today, in fact, at 6 p.m. That's a press release. But we've started a few months ago. And I think, yeah, because a lot of producers, and I know I'm one of them, and I was with a Danish producer this morning, and he's the same. We produce, and we're so passionate about what we do that as soon as it's over, we want to jump on the next project. What is my next adventure? I want to produce. We love what we do. And sometimes a lot of great projects are not even released. Like people, you know, the lucky people that we are, we watch that in festival, but that it's nowhere. So I think it's important right now to focus a little bit on distribution. One French player called Diversion is doing that really well. I'm coming to compete with him a little bit, and which is good for the market. More player, more market, more offer. And I think distribution is important, and something also great is, even for that, we have grants in France. And in fact, this one are really given by UniFrance, the one hosted this panel. And they give us grants, too small, go bigger, for us to export the project and try to reach audience all over the world. And that's something important.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how you can launch, though, in France. Because in terms of like collaborating, because you've got different festivals that are in France. So we can talk a bit about that. You've got great venues. For example, we're showing in Venice VR, we have satellite network partners around the world who are showing the selection in their venues in real life, which is very exciting. And we have one in Paris, it's the 104, which is the north of Paris, and one in Grenoble. So can you talk a bit about how it works when you're launching your project, like where you'll start, would you start in, you know, the festival strategy, where you'll go afterwards, how it all works?
So we usually, as a production company, we usually keep the project for a year and we distribute it ourselves because we know that we want to just hit the big premieres and we want to just be on the on this case. For us, a grand premiere, it's always very important. For example, Venice Film Festival or Tribeca Film Festival or Sundance Film Festival. After these festivals, you are sure that you will have a year festival circuit around. But then for the first year, you will go for the bigger festivals. In France, we usually we do a lot of animation, so Annecy is the festival that we go to. And then we sit down and talk with people like Antoine to see how can we distribute the project after a year long, because it's a lot of work for a producer to distribute.
Do you want, please, yeah.
Well, I think I might contradict you a little bit. I think France is a great starting ground for projects. But I've been in this position for the past years where you do those amazing projects, you're publicly founded and you are strong, and then the project simply disappear because there is not such a strong distribution market. And that's why all the producers must have this thinking about, like, how do I distribute? And I think it was really a bummer, like how, like the disconnection between how good we were for producing and creating and how bad we were for distributing. And I've been in a position where most of my work was created in France and played all over the world but France. And this is really a fact. I think also there's something important to mention, because there might be people from cinema here, is that there's two ways of distributing VR. And one of the strong way is what we call location-based entertainment, which is bringing an element of scenography and installation to the world of VR. And very often, producers from film backgrounds, for example, well, not that strong to kind of like bring a piece that is location-based, because they didn't have this network. They had a movie network. They had a traditional distribution network. So they had to learn and build this stuff step by step. And I think we're getting in a position where people like Atlas are starting to think about that, when we have players like Diversion. But it's like, I think in terms of production, we are very advanced. In terms of distribution, it's only just starting right now.
But I think that's general in VR.
Yes.
Because, and obviously when we're talking about VR, we're talking about all formats. So we're ranging from things that have no interactivity, that could be 360 video, or they could be spatial VR that has no interactivity, to really complex multiplayer projects that involve sets, set design, and actors in real life setting. And then projects that are virtual, that are multiplayer in virtual world. So there's all sorts of formats. And this is the problem I think about VR, is it's not like film where you have, you know, a very, very clear distribution delivery system. You know how you deliver film. You know what platforms it is. We're talking about many different formats. So when that comes to that, it's hard when you're in, especially over the last 18 months, because the location base has been so important for VR. And obviously all the venues around the world have closed. And that was a place where people got a taste for VR. But in But in France, you've got, I mean, there are sort of interesting arts and festivals across different, there's places like Arles, or you have theatre festivals. But I think your point is totally correct. I think the problem is that there are so many different people needed when you're doing a complex interactive location-based piece. You need to understand about set design and real-time performance and touring. And that's a very different, it's actually to understand touring, which is a performing arts. Yeah. But I think in France there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of possibilities because you have such amazing subsidy for culture across, whether it's for venues and that kind of network. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think everything relies a little bit on what Mathias say, and I couldn't agree more. It's like, and we are not lazy, huh? But sometimes because it's public money and nobody invests their own money, the urge to distribute, the urge to make money sometimes is a little less present in the French co-producer. And if you're looking for a French co-producer, be sure to be really exigent on the fact that you want to keep money for marketing, you want the piece to be seen, because a lot of producers, we're really spoiled as French producer. Mm-hmm. We can have the money, we can produce much more than a lot of country, and a lot of time we're more like, oh, it's done, I'm happy, I love my project, I move to the next one because I love my job. But and then nobody even try to make money because we don't need to. We put usually not our money. I think that's how we produce in France and a lot in Europe for the feature film are the same philosophy. And that's why sometimes we don't have enough visibility. I think Mathias is right. And that's also why sometimes, even for us as French, it's amazing to have an international partner because he will push us to have exhibition. And I think the more partner you have, and I think that was one of your thing in mind, is like the more partner you have, the more visibility you'll have. I did again the project Gloomy Eyes, and the Argentinian partner, they put it everywhere in Argentina, in the mall, they are doing LB, like, of course, the money that we, like, maybe we make €3,000, okay, but it's not only money, it's like visibility, credibility for the next one and for them also in their country. So I think it's really important to rely maybe sometime on that, on the other partner. Personally, I have this mentality of I want my project to be seen, so I do that, but and maybe I didn't always, but sometime, you're right, Mathias, and that might be something slowing down visibility.
But I think that's a general problem in subsidized arts, and I saw it, I come from film business originally, and it was the same thing. A lot of producers, because you're very much relying on getting a fee, that's what you need as a production company, and then you hand it over to someone, hopefully, to distribute. Yeah. And you're not going to see a return a lot of the time anyway, so, yeah. But I know it's super interesting. Let's talk, because we haven't got very long. Unfortunately, we have to finish the panel at 10:02. First, I should ask, has anyone got any questions?
You were talking about two regions in France that spend a lot of money in VR. I remember Lyon, and the other was?
Maybe because it's hard to pronounce everything. At the end, come see me, I'll give you the exact title and the website.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Okay, I think it'd be interesting to actually go through the projects and break down who your partners were as well. Maybe you can give an example, because it's kind of just to give an example of what those... Antoine, I'm going to start with you, what those important collaborations were.
I think the most important collaboration is to have a big US partner. Let's face it, like 51.5% of the Quest audience is from the US. That's public figures, and you can see. And only like... I think number two is 8.8% UK, and then after you have 2.2% Japan. So having a US partner is a main thing for distribution, and also because they have the main market, of course they put more money. Because it's related, they can recoup. And having a partner like Riot, I think they're more right now doing augmented reality than VR. But at the time, Riot, or of course Facebook, I mean Oculus, but which is Facebook, Google, HTC, which might seem smaller, but then HTC have a big influence also in Asia. So I think having a US partner is a big thing, and I will drop the ball to my friend Mathias.
Well, I guess this is what you said, and I circle back on another subject. Is I've been spending most of my energy kind of sheltering the talents, because I think what we're doing in VR is not video gaming anymore. Yeah. It's not cinema anymore. So it's requiring unique skills, honestly, like find a good animator that works with real time, with like this like who's not coming from video gaming, who has the same sort of knowledge, and who's able to do those stuff. So there's a variety of new kind of jobs that are popping in and that are required for VR. And I've been really, really, my main partners, I think, is this network of people that I can rely on and build the stuff on. And this is becoming something very specific. Like, I think if the pipeline would stop for 6 months, we would not be able to create VR in six yeah. months because all the stones would spread away. So I think the partners is also the studios who are able to build the stuff. And in France, we have tremendous, like, good studios.
It's like typical, like, the producer answer, US money, and the artist answer, the artist.
Kata, you?
Yes, US money, Asia, if it does work with your project, and then Europe, Danish Film Institute, if you are doing a co-production with Denmark, I think British Film Institute, if you're working with, yeah, England, Denmark,
and those, that's the soft
Canada.
Money. That, oh yeah, we haven't mentioned. There's a lot of collaboration between Canada and France. When I've looked at the projects that are financed, that's a very good route, isn't it? Yeah. But that's soft money. Bringing in partnerships. So you're talking about a lot of the projects. I mean, Goliath, for example. Can you give a breakdown of the finances on that? That would be useful.
The project started at Biennale College.
So in the Biennale, we have a development program as well that you can apply to.
But that's no money. We just came here for expertise. Then the project was selected as part of Creative XR incubator in London. They give development money to do a vertical slice or a prototype. Yeah. And then you have Creative XR, but these are all selective. Like, you have to be chosen. You have to submit, and then you have to be chosen. Creative XR in production. Then we had Oculus at the same time, who came as, like, a major partner. Then BFI. BFI was not a very... In general, BFI, they treat you as a film, so it's a very long and difficult way to have BFI. And then CNC, they didn't give us the production money. And what else? That's about
and,
it.
And then there was some NGO money, I think. So
NGO for mental health. But actually, this is now the project has just started for us. This is when the project is out. This is when you can go and really pitch it. So we have three angles with Goliath. We have the gaming community theme. We have the mental health. And then XR. So we are going to work with all these centers. For example, a center for mental health. We want to go to the universities. We want to get connected in that kind of sphere. Then we want to go to the tech and game industry, and we want to, like, get close, have LBE exhibitions. So, I mean, once the project is done, this is when the work is going to start, because you have to kind of prepare themes around it, and you have to kind of introduce it to be able to have talks or exhibitions.
And that requires partners.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if I may, a little thing that I know you, it's not a debate if you agree, it's like, I think there is a lot of possibility of co-production, subsidiaries, of course, US private money, which you might have on one project, but not on a lot, of course. I think you need to have a broadcaster. But a broadcaster in VR is really wide. It's not only the old school broadcaster. So, of course, you have the old school broadcaster, BBC, Sky, Arte, France Television, SBS, ZDF. These people are doing VR. You know, it's not thing that they're doing a lot, but they're doing a few projects every year. And I think that's something important to target. If you're not having them, or if not fitting your content, maybe like some museum that have like, a filial... that have museum, like a museum group that have a few museum, or maybe a mall chain, you know, like some, you need some private money of people that will be invest to find an audience. I think that's really important, not to do a project with only public money. Sometimes you will have to, and I do that also sometimes, but it's good to have a broadcaster partner, someone that will help to show the project outside the world.
So I know we've got to wrap up now, but can you say how long you're in Venice for? Because I'm sure people want to meet you. So how long are you here for?
I'm leaving Monday morning, and I have time to meet. I will be there around on Sunday, if you want to meet.
Mathis?
Yeah, me the same. I'm leaving in the Monday evening.
Great. And Katayun?
I leave tomorrow morning. But I'm there all afternoon if you want to come to talk.
Great.
So you can jump on Katayun, and Mathis and I will be there tomorrow.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. And I hope you have a great market. And thanks to the panelists.
Say something about the cocktail.
Oh. No.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.